Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we are going to talk about what it means to be born again. The words born again have become familiar to even non-believers, but there are many Christians who cannot even give an adequate definition of what it means to be born again or converted to Christ Jesus. There was a young man named Jacob who had grown up in Singapore with one driving ambition in his life: to be a success, to gain all the money and possessions he could possibly get hold of. That led him into a world of drugs and gambling, and eventually he became the head of an international smuggling network. But in 1980, he was arrested and placed in a government drug rehab prison in Singapore. He was frustrated beyond endurance. All his goals and all his dreams and all his ambitions were locked up in that cell, and his heart was cold and empty. He was also addicted to cigarettes, and being a smoker, he was frustrated because cigarettes were not allowed in the prison. So he smuggled in tobacco and rolled up the tobacco in the pages of a Gideon Bible that had been placed in that prison. One day he fell asleep while he was smoking. He awoke to find that the cigarette had burned out and all that remained was a scrap of charred paper. He unrolled it and read these words: "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Jacob asked for another Bible, and he read the entire story of the conversion of Saul. He suddenly realized that if God could help someone like Saul, God could help him too. There in his cell, he knelt and prayed, asking Christ to come into his life and to change him. He found himself crying uncontrollably, could not stop. The tears of his wasted life washed his pain away, and God redeemed him. He started sharing his story with other prisoners, and as soon as he was released, he became involved in a church. He ended up meeting a Christian woman he married, and he is now a missionary in the Far East, where he tells people far and wide, "Who would have believed I could find the truth by smoking the Word of God?" This man had a very unusual conversion experience, but truthfully, it is at the same time just like a million other conversion stories where the truth of God's Word penetrated his heart and God's amazing love and willingness to take hold of a person regardless of where they are in life and bring them into relationship with God himself is very plainly the story of being born again. What does it mean for a person to be born again? Jesus told Nicodemus, the inquiring religious leader, that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was very confused by this, and seeking clarification, he asked Jesus, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" But Jesus was not speaking about natural birth. He was talking about spiritual rebirth. In John 3:5, we find these words: "Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.'" Jesus made it very clear that the condition for entrance into the kingdom of God is this spiritual rebirth. But why would a person need a second birth? Let's look at what happened to man's relationship with God from the time of creation until now. Originally, man's relationship with God was one of very close fellowship. God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, according to Genesis 3:8. God had given Adam and Eve stewardship, responsibilities, and authority over the earth. Genesis 1:28 tells us, "And God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth.'" That's the Amplified translation. Then we see in Genesis 2:15 that God specifically assigned Adam to tend the Garden of Eden. It says, "And the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and guard it and keep it." You could say, in essence, Adam was God's designated overseer in the earth. Then God gave Adam a very simple commandment that he was to obey. Disobedience meant death. Genesis 2:16 and 17 tells us, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may eat freely out of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die.'" Satan was very aware of this commandment that had been given to Adam and Eve. Satan desperately wanted Adam's position of authority over the earth. So with all subtlety and deception, he tempted Eve to disobey God's commandment. Satan knew what that would mean. They would abdicate or hand over their God-given authority to Satan if they disobeyed God's commandment and obeyed Satan's word. But Satan was successful in tempting Eve, and then Adam as well, when she chose to disobey God's instructions and follow Satan's plan. Adam followed suit. This action of disobedience was equivalent to high treason. By doing so, Adam abdicated his God-given authority in the earth to Satan through his deliberate act of disloyalty and disobedience. Genesis 3:6 tells us, "She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, and he ate." Adam didn't die physically when he disobeyed God. He died spiritually. But it also brought in this element of physical death, which was never intended by God in the first place. Sickness and disease came in when sin came in at that first point when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Man's fellowship and communion with God was then broken. Adam and Eve were driven out of the Garden of Eden, and that picture that we find in Genesis represents our own broken relationship with God and our distance from God because of sin. Genesis 3:23 and 24 tells the story. "Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed a cherubim and a flaming sword to guard the way to the tree of life." Though we were originally created to have intimate fellowship and relationship with God, because of this spiritual death that entered in with sin, we lost our relationship, our fellowship with our Creator. There's been a separation or a breach that has occurred. That spiritual death and separation from God that occurred in the Garden of Eden has been passed down from generation to generation, starting with Adam, and now we see it in our own generation in full force. People are far from God, living godless and loveless lives. Romans tells us, "Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or escape its power, because all men sinned." Romans 5:12 in the Amplified. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 tells us. This spiritual death haunts every single person on the earth that has not been born again. Back in the days when the Roman Empire was at its zenith, the Romans were very cruel with their prisoners. The Romans sometimes compelled a captive to be joined, tied, and bound face to face with a dead body and to bear it around until the horrible decay and stench destroyed the life of the living victim. You could say, without Christ, we are shackled to a dead corpse, our own sinfulness. And only repentance frees us from certain death, for life and death cannot coexist indefinitely. This is why we must be born again. Follow me in prayer right now if you need to give your heart and your life to God. Say, Father, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me and that he paid the penalty for my sin. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to lead my life. Make me your own child now. Thank you for saving me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. Welcome to the family of God. He loves you. Now begin to pursue your relationship with him by reading his word, praying daily, and finding a Bible teaching church where you can grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.